Global oil prices have hit as low as $38 per barrel for U.S. crude. China devaluating its currencies. The stock markets around the world dropping, some nosediving, including the ones on Wall Street. What is going on? Well, this has been attributed to the Chinese economy slowing down, but is that the reason? In this edition of The Debate, we'll discuss the repercussions because of low oil prices, how it will affect world markets, and whether this will stop the fragile recovery in Europe and the United States.
Stock markets worldwide nosedived on Monday, which was the first day of trading this week. The shock began in Asia, where markets eventually closed at their lowest in years. China's main index in Shanghai dived by 8.8%, which was unprecedented over the past 8 years. In Tokyo and Sydney, benchmarks lost more than 4%. A similar trend occurred in South Korea, the Philippines, and Hong Kong. Markets in Europe and the US also suffered a massive sell-off. Analysts believe several factors were involved.
First of all, as we all know that, the Dow Jones did fall by more than 500 points last Friday. And undoubtedly, this did affect the sentiment of the investors. And secondly, as we all know that the Greek issue could be another problem. And thirdly, and the Korean Peninsula crisis. Swallow that because they're just negotiating now.
Many are already blaming China for the recent sharp declines in prices worldwide. They say the markets are taking hammering from last week's sell-off in stocks that was triggered over concerns about the health of the world's second biggest economy. Some argue that the shock to the markets is not only China's fault. They say Greece's debt crisis is also an important factor. Plunging oil prices have also been effective in dragging stock markets down. There may be some fears that what is happening in markets today could lead to a repeat of the global financial crisis that struck in 2009. But economists say the global economy today is more solid than before. So what is the key concern now?
The cause of today's concern in stock markets is the long period where central banks have been inflating their currencies. They've been engaged in a worldwide currency war, and that includes China, Japan, the European Central Bank, and the Federal Reserve, amongst many other central banks, with their low interest rate policies.
Other markets have also been affected by the plunge in share prices. Oil is sliding deeper into the fear zone of $30. Global currencies are at their multiple-year lows, and commodity indices stand at the lowest level since the 90s. Many may expect some emergency actions from China, including tax cuts and steeper interest rate cuts. But whether China would ever move toward those actions and how successful they will be is still an open question.
Well, our guest joining us for this edition of The Debate, we have economist, economic that is, and political commentator Chris Dorsey, who joins us from Richmond. And we have finance and editor of The Independent, Sean O'Grady, who joins us from London. Gentlemen, welcome. Sean O'Grady, let me start with you. The swing that I'm looking at for the Dow Jones right now, it's standing at 16,110, and it went as low as 15,370, so over 1,000 points there. And the FTSE, $74 billion wiped off of that. And, of course, we're looking at the oil prices hovering around, let's say, $38 per barrel for U.S. crude. What is going on?
Well, the short answer, the one word, is confidence. We've all been worried about what's been happening in China recently as the stock market, which is always volatile, but it's had these very, very heavy falls. The Chinese economy is slowing down, although it's still growing at a relatively high rate compared to Europe, for example, but it has slowed down. And so there's been a sort of worry that this is going to affect the world economy in some ways, and this has really hit investor confidence. And I think also, as your commentator was saying in your introduction, what's been happening in Korea is a bit of a flashpoint that always worries markets, especially in the in East Asia, and also here in Europe, the Greek debt crisis is continuing. It never ends, actually, but anyway, it's continuing. So it's having yet another episode now because they're going to have elections again in Greece. So there are a number of reasons why investors have got worried. Stock markets, not just in China, but in the West, have had quite a good run in the last couple of years as confidence has returned, as the banks especially have become much healthier. And I think that people are a little bit worried right now, and that would account for a lot of the a lot of the correction. But we have to now live in a world where China is part of the world economy in the way it wasn't 20 or 30 years ago at all. And the Chinese stock market is unusually volatile because it has a lot of private investors involved in it, and capitalism is still fairly youthful in China, and the government is trying to buck the market, which isn't a very good idea. So it's bound to bounce around a great deal. And just as it's collapsed in the last few weeks and months, it could easily rise up again and down again and down again. So we have to maybe live with a lot more volatility as China becomes integrated and a bigger part of the world economy.
Okay, well, Chris Dorsey, do you agree with that? I mean, is this all emanating from what Sean O'Grady said, which many have also said, because of Chinese economy slowing down, and therefore there's a ripple effect across the world? Do you agree with the take that Sean O'Grady had?
Well, I definitely think that there's contagion. I think that this is it's a global slowdown. Commodity prices are down, currencies are down. This is a result of oversold markets. Now, the number one cause is that the markets are all rigged around the world. On July the 8th, most of the Chinese stocks were trading on most of the Chinese stocks in the Shanghai market were halted. And then the very same day, the New York Stock Exchange shut down and then reopened on a time schedule. All these markets are based on computer algorithms, and they're controlled. And they're controlled, all of the global economies and the central banks of the world are controlled by the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. Through Basel III, all the capitalization rates of all the world economies are set. And, you know, we don't really hear too much about the actions of the overseers of the private central banks, which is the BIS, the IMF, and the World Bank. But this is a controlled demolition of the world economy. It's done through contagion, which is what we're seeing now. The sell-off on this Black Monday started in the Asian markets. It started with the 8.8% loss on the Shanghai Composite. Then it moves its way into Europe. And then the New York Stock Exchange, the Dow Jones, starts the day down 1,000 points. This is all by design, and it's a global slowdown, and the markets are oversold, and it's just through the central banks of the world printing money and having, you know, 0% or less than 0% interest rates. And the debt slaves of the world, which are the people of the world, they don't benefit anything from this. And this is all based on the whims of bankers and the politicians that they control.
Well, let's see over here. Sean O'Grady, you'd like to take a stab at some of the statements that are made by Chris Dorsey, because he covered quite a wide array of issues in that 1 minute or so that he spoke there. Go ahead, Sean O'Grady.
Well, I think that it's very, very difficult for governments and central banks, or the Bank for International Settlements, which is the central bank's central bank, so to speak. It's a sort of international body that this is a sort of federal body that they all belong to. It's very difficult for any of those organizations to rig gigantic capital markets. If it was possible for them to do so, we'd never have a financial crisis, because the interest, I would have thought, of all these authorities was in having stable markets or rising markets, and certainly not tanking markets. And the lesson from China recently is that the central government, the central bank or the government or whatever, these central authorities cannot buck the market, as the famous phrase goes. And they've tried in China to use rhetoric, they've tried to use money, they've tried to use interest rates, they've probably tried all sorts of measures in order to prevent the stock market falling as fast as it has done, and it's all been to no avail, just as it very rarely is in history. Investors do what they want to do, and they're not going to be controlled or ordered or manipulated really by central bankers. And the thing they try to do is to stop it falling, as I say, by cutting interest rates to push more liquidity into the markets and restore some sort of confidence. But with interest rates being so low, it may be very, very difficult for them to do so, including the printing of money that we've seen over recent years. But I think that we could we can overreact. I mean, investors can overreact, and it's a hardly new phenomenon that investors can overreact to events real and imagined in the real economy. The Chinese economy is slowing down. The attempt they made to rebalance the economy away from exports and investment into consumption and importing did make some headway, not enough headway. And now they've scuttled back into cutting their interest rates, devaluing their currency, and going for another export drive. But this is really what caused the trouble in the first place, way back about 10, 15 years ago, as we went into the crisis, what they call the global imbalances, which are this huge American trade deficit and this huge Chinese trade surplus that we had for 10 years or so. And it built up this enormous weight of money in China, which was then lent back into America and the West, created a lot of these debt bubbles and debt instruments that caused the trouble when we had the crash, the banking crash in 2007, 8, and 9, and 10. So there are a lot of factors involved in it. But I think that the idea that the authorities are trying to push markets down and to demolish the world economy or demolish growth or something is a bit far-fetched. I would have thought that from sitting in London, at any rate, the authorities are usually interested in the opposite effect.
Well, let's look at something that did perhaps trigger this, Chris Dorsey. And, you know, I don't want to make this program just economically driven technically, because we want to take a look at the bigger picture also, just for the people who may not be as economically knowledgeable. And that was what the Chinese did maybe 4 or 5 days ago. And that was devaluing the yuan. Now, it is said that once they did that, that's kind of unprecedented. And that triggered what we're seeing right now. Now, why would China want to do that when it itself will take a hit from it? Perhaps you can break that open, because there's many analysts that are pointing to the direction of China wanting to have the dollar take a hit by devaluing their currency.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of talk about a currency war going on, but what I really think is the main key to all of this is the fact that, you know, it's about, I guess, you know, allowing their exports to have more value. I'm not really sure what's in the mind of the People's Bank of China and why they're making these unprecedented moves. But whatever is happening, it seems to be making the problem with their economy and their stock market worse. So every time they seem to make a move that they're stating is going to stabilize the economy, is going to stabilize the stock market, it makes it worse. Like, as I stated before, when they took stocks off of the market to be traded, they said, okay, well, that's to protect the economy. The economy's gotten worse, and it's just taken a nosedive. So I can only presume that if they're making these moves, and these moves are exacerbating the issues and exacerbating the problems that they, you know, are pretending or state that is going to put a Band-Aid on the problem or put a thumb, you know, their thumb in the dike, and it does the opposite. I can't put my mind into that. What I do know is that the People's Bank of China, like the Federal Reserve Bank and like the European Central Bank and like the Bank of England and the Bank of Japan, they're all controlled, and they all dance to the tune of the Bank for International Settlements. And the Bank for International Settlements, through these central banks, makes coordinated moves. And when one currency devalues, the other currencies devalue. And when one stock market goes down, the other stock markets go down. And this is like a controlled demolition, and something that kind of happens not only with the you know, false flag attacks of September 11th when there was a controlled demolition of the World Trade Center complex, the same institutions that control the politicians and the armies and the military and the intelligence agencies of the world, they control the world economies. And when they want to do a controlled demolition on the world economy, this is what they do. And this is what's happening. And it's done so in the economic world through contagion. And this is what we've said on this network for the past 4 years. We've said, as soon as it hits Asia, the
Not
Asia
me.
Market's going to hit the European market. The European market's going to hit the Western market.
I think you have a response there, Sean O'Grady. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's preposterous to imagine that there's an international conspiracy run by the Bank of International Settlements to, quote, demolish the world's capital markets. It's quite the opposite. All the evidence suggests the opposite. The Bank of International Settlements is not all that powerful. The central banks they're independent in many respects, but if they're guided by anything, they're guided by the individual governments that they serve. And the idea that 9/11 was a false flag attack, I don't know what people have been saying on this channel or anywhere else over the years, but this is a well-known conspiracy theory which has been thoroughly discredited. The 9/11 attacks were not a conspiracy, they were a terrorist attack, as is well known, by Al-Qaeda. That's that. A lot of things have happened since then, but that is what happened there. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. And similarly, there is no international conspiracy run by the Bank of International Settlements or anyone else for that matter to demolish the world's stock markets. It is in no one's interest to demolish the world's capital markets or demolish the world's economy. I do not understand why anyone would want to do it, because governments don't like it, peoples don't like it, and central bankers don't like it. And they behave in the opposite direction, because when you often find trouble in capital markets, what they very often do is reduce interest rates, put more money into the economy, sort of prop up the banking system, buy assets, so-called printing money, whatever you want to call it. And that keeps, you know, as far as it can do, that can do a certain amount. But at the end of the day, these markets are free markets by and large, not so much in China, but in the rest of the world they certainly are. And these domino effects have been going on in all directions for many, many years, long before any conspiracy theories were dreamt up. As long as we've had stock markets, they've been internationally connected, because business is international, trade is international, companies are international, and in fact they always have been.
Well, Chris Dorsey, I'd like to go along the lines of what you have presented regarding this whole thing. And one of the things that's very amazing is when you hear analysts on different channels, I'm assuming that they're either economists or they have some, obviously, expertise on finances. And they talk about how there needed to be a correction. They use this word correction. And it's very interesting that this was not something that used to be used repetitively the way it has been. I mean, what is a market correction? And when you're talking about the Dow Jones going up and down 1,000 points, it gives the feeling that there's the fluctuation. There's something behind this extreme fluctuation. And for the common person, how would you explain that?
Well, correction is a euphemism, and the reason there's 1,000 points up and then, you know, nearly 1,000 point recovery in the matter of, you know, a couple hours like happened today, and I think when we went to air, about 15 minutes before we went to air, the Dow was down 260 points. As I said before, just like the elections in the United States and around the world, they are rigged. It's based on computer algorithms that folks rig. There are things that occur on the New York Stock Exchange that are known as flash crashes. On July 8th, as I said before, the entire stock market stopped trading. And this was the same day there was the biggest loss up until yesterday, or actually I should say up until today, in the Asian stock market since 2007, when there was the last global, you know, crash. So if these markets aren't rigged, then I don't know what a quote-unquote reset is. I don't know what a quote-unquote, a correction is. And I don't know why these stock markets can be turned off and then turned back on. And folks act like, oh, yeah, no big deal. And it's not folks who act like that. It's not regular people. It's the television actors who go on CNBC and tell everyone that the global market is okay. And I do want to touch on one thing that Mr. O'Grady stated and or touched on or alluded to, and that's the fact that there are multi-quadrillion dollar bubbles that are set up, like that there was a the housing market bubble where there was $800 trillion worth of derivatives, which is bad assets, which is being gambled on and turned into something to the effect of actual money in the economy. And so basically, not only are the markets rigged, but losses, bad assets, are turned into hundreds of trillions and even multiple quadrillions of dollars okay. worth of actual assets.
Very well.
So
we're going to unfortunately have to end it there.
Many,
I'm too sorry.
Many times the
we're
size
just fresh
of the New
out of
York
time.
Stock
thank you very
exchange.
Much for that. Economic and political commentator Chris Dorsey there from Richmond. Thank you, Sean O'Grady, finance editor of The Independent, who spoke to us from London. Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Miko Atawai and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, is goodbye.